Brace yourself and buckle up. You are about to hear a life-changing, history-making, world-defining message from the New Birth Podcast. Tell everybody you know, things will never be the same.
Deuteronomy 28 and 12. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season. And he's gonna bless everything you've been working on. Y'all don't know when to shout, huh? I said, whatever you've been working on, he's getting ready to bless it. You will lend to many nations, but you won't borrow from anybody. I want you to repeat after me. The Lord is about to open up heaven and send me more than enough. He's going to bless what I'm working on. I will lend to nations. But after today, I'm not going to borrow from anybody. If you believe it, shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The Lord will open heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season. He's going to bless whatever you've been working on. You will lend to many nations, but you'll never have to borrow. On this Resurrection Sunday, I want to preach using as a subject, let me hold something. Yeah, let me. Man, look at the person beside you, tell them, can I just hold something for a minute? Let me hold something. A lot of us were raised as children in households where we were forbidden from using four-letter words. We couldn't use it in our house or even in earshot of our house. However, it is not until we became adults that we were introduced to the nastiest four-letter word. The nastiest four-letter word is debt. The difference between those other four-letter words and that one is the other four-letter words demeans others. But this one, in many ways, is hard to pronounce because in some measure, it projects what we feel about ourselves. Lindsay Bryan Potvin, in her book, The Financial Anxiety Solution, purports that in our culture, we adopt the notion of debt as a character flaw. We see debt as a moral deficit. When truth be told, a lot of times it can be traced to circumstances that are beyond our control. 58% of debt collection in 2021, 58% of debt collection in 2021 was medical debt. Medical debt. And I dare not even begin to look at the ledger on the tax that comes with being black in America. It's incalculable. In terms of the difficulty of securing home loans, the absence of access to capital for entrepreneurship, the interest rate that is applied on trying to secure a used automobile, and the ungodly cost of student loans is all beyond our comprehension. I want to say to you today that debt is a sociopath, because debt is the lead cause for divorce. Debt, you may not believe it, but I wanted you to know it. Debt is the preeminent factor of domestic violence. While the uncaptured serial killer in our community is heart disease, the mascot is heart attacks. And the heart attacks invariably come from undue stress. And the stress is funneled out of debt. Came today to tell you, whatever you do, don't let debt decapitate you. And as a consequence, I wanted to take a withdrawal from Deuteronomy 28, where Moses ekes out the benefit package that comes from being obedient to the divine. Old church mothers used to say, it pays to serve Jesus. But I wanted you to know from Deuteronomy 28, what is in line and in store for you when you are obedient to God. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 3 says, you will be blessed in the city. And even when you leave the city, you're going to be blessed in the field. Deuteronomy 28, verse number 4 says, when you are faithful to God, not only are you going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field, but your children will be blessed. When you are faithful to God, not only will your children be blessed, but you're going to be blessed coming in, and you're going to be blessed when you walk out. Verse number 7 says, when you are faithful and obedient to God, not only is that going to happen, but your enemies are going to be met with defeat. That didn't help you. Verse number 8 says, the Lord is sending a blessing to your house. Even while you are in church right now, a blessing is getting ready to hit your house. All right, let me help you. In the balcony, on the floor, watching online, lift up that hand. I'm going to speak those blessings of Deuteronomy 28 over your life. I speak over every lifted hand that for the rest of the year, you will be blessed in the city and you're going to be blessed in the field. I speak over every lifted hand, your children will be blessed. You will be blessed when you walk into a room and when you decide it's time for you to leave the room. Lift up that hand. I feel bad for all of your enemies, because when they thought they were bothering you, they were picking a fight with God. I speak over every lifted hand that the Lord is sending a blessing to your address, and every person who lives in your house is about to be blessed. If you receive it, I want you to just clap your hands right there. If you receive it, The crescendo of Deuteronomy 28 rests on verse number 12. The Lord is opening up heaven, and he's going to bless the work of your hands. He says, you will lend and not borrow. Translation is, when you are obedient unto God, he is going to start putting you in position to be the lender. As a consequence, you are going to be the bank for your family. Hallelujah. I am Jamal Savings and Loans. You got to understand, the position that God is about to put you in is not for you to buy bags and shoes and go on trips, but God wants to put you in a position so that when people in your family are in crisis, they ain't got to go to Wells Fargo or Truist or Chase, but you are going to be the one that they can depend on. Bishop Noel Jones said just a couple of weeks ago, he said, you've got to stop complaining about your position, about you always being upset because your family always asking you for money, always got their hand out, always needing something. You the one that got to put the family together. Bishop Jones said, ask yourself, which member of the family would you rather be? Would you be rather be the family member that's begging, or would you rather be the family member that's blessed? And I feel like it's 500 of y'all that said, if I got to choose, let me be the family member that can be the blessing to the rest of the family. Philippians 2 and 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. I would dare argue this morning without fear of contradiction that nobody was more obedient to Yahweh than Jesus. And yet in still, I don't understand. Deuteronomy 28 and 12 says that I will be a lender and not a borrower. That's what he says. If I am obedient unto God, I will be a lender and not a borrower. And here Jesus is most obedient of all of humankind. And yet in the last week of his life, I find three hard inquiries for a loan. See if I can help you. In the last week of his life, I illegally pulled Jesus' credit report. And when I pulled Jesus' credit report, I found out in the last week of his life, he took out three loans. You don't believe it? Let me see if I can help you. The first loan he took out was last Sunday. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. And he told the disciples, go into Jerusalem and borrow a donkey. Bring the donkey for me to ride on. I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to give it back. But I need to borrow it just so that I can get to my destination. I'm going to say this to somebody today. You can't borrow other people's drive. Hallelujah. You got to have your own drive. Because if you motivated by what other people do, you are never going to get to where you are supposed to be. You better get off Instagram, get off TikTok, because all of that got a filter anyway. You got to make up in your mind, when I get up in the morning, I do it because people are depending on me. I can't quit because I can't afford to break down. I got too many balls that's in the air. I need somebody in this room that folk don't understand why you can't quit, why you won't throw in the towel, why you won't wave the white flag. Do you not know if I sit down, I may cry? If I sit down, I may lose it. So I just got to keep going because I understand I can't go back to where I used to be. Some folk don't understand your drive because they ain't lived through the trauma you had to live through. But if you made up in your mind, I ain't ever going to be broke like that again. I'm never going to be dependent on folk like that again. I'm never going to be depressed like that again. Why? Because I got to have my own drive. Got to have my own drive because I can't break down. Jesus rode into Jerusalem last Sunday on a donkey and then gave it back. I don't know what kind of faith you have today, but I'm going to go out on a ledge. I want you to just lift that right hand because I don't want you to get tired of me just yet. Lift that right hand. Do you know what I felt in the spirit today? And only those of y'all that holler back at me going to be able to receive it. What I receive in the spirit today is after reading Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 12 is that I'm a lender and not a borrower. I speak over lifted hands. I'm going to see how many of y'all are crazy enough to believe it. I speak cars with no car notes. Oh God, I can't hear nobody in here. I'm praying that God is going to get you out of vehicles that have a depreciating value. No exorbitant interest rates, no mechanical difficulty. You are going to escape out of bad contracts. You're going to get in it and you're going to get out of it. Those of you that are trusting God for transportation, would you give God glory for it right now if you trust in Him? He borrowed the ride, then he gave it back. The next thing he borrowed Next thing he bought was a large upper room. He sent two of his disciples to find one big enough to celebrate the Passover. Says, I need it, here it is, that it can house and hold 12 disciples. Here's the catch, it was already fully furnished. I read a startling statistic that I wanted you to be mindful of, and the data is this, hear this, is that when rent goes up by just $100, when rent goes up by $100, it raises the probability of homelessness by 7%. God, I can't hear nobody. God is going to have to do something to give rent control. Because some of you are paying at a price that is not commensurate to the value. But I believe for you that your gift, I'm going to take it literally, your gift is going to make a room for you. That every place the sole of your feet shall tread upon, God is getting ready to give it to you. He told Adam, take dominion and take authority over the earth. If you are living in an apartment, you are borrowing somebody else's room. If you are renting and you are not owning, God is going to have to shift it because his name is on the line. Home ownership is in your future. I don't know why y'all are sitting still, but God says, I got to create generational wealth for your family. This is your last time on somebody else's lease agreement. I can't hear nobody in here. The spirit of Jabez is on you. He is about to enlarge your territory. Y'all can't shout about it. Let me see if I can talk to the people in the balcony. If God can give Puffy three houses, why can't he give me one? God got to be able to give it to you, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. I see y'all got this thing twisted. I don't want you to shout like you at new birth. I want you to shout like you in your new living room. I want you to shout like the basement is finished. I need you to thank God like he remodeled the kitchen. You gotta give God glory. You may be seated. You may be seated. You ain't never said it out loud, but you got to say it today. Somebody shout out loud, real estate is in my future. Hallelujah. I'm about to start flipping houses. God is going to give me houses I don't even have to live in. On the 15th, I'm going to collect rent from somebody else. I can't hear nobody. My father is rich in houses in land. It's time that you had your own. You may be seated. It's time you had your own. It's time your children had their own. It's time for you to be able to leave something for the next generation of your family. Somebody sitting there stuck up and look at him and say, do you hear him talking to your future? Hallelujah. You are a homeowner. You are a real estate developer. You don't even know that God is getting ready to unleash property that is due to your family. This nation owes you 40 acres and a mule. The least you can do is have one piece of property. He borrowed in 1 week a donkey. In 1 week he borrowed an upper room. It is Resurrection Sunday. And I thought this would be a good time for me to tell you that he also borrowed a tomb. Over 2,000 years ago, an innocent black man by the name of Jesus. We have enough evidence. We got enough evidence that Jesus was black. Because they took him to court but never gave him an attorney. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. We already know he was black. because they arrested him and never set bail for him. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You already know that he was black because they didn't allow any visitation while it is that he was in custody. I got to stop right here. This ain't even in my sermon, but I feel like some of y'all in the balcony need to shout on this. God said, this is the season I'm getting the innocent black men out of jail. That this is the season I am stopping the prison pipeline. I don't need you to shout if you got a perfect life, but I need you to shout for God to cover your son, for God to cover your nephew, for God to cover your brother. The gates of hell shall not prevail against him. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm almost finished. Hallelujah. I'm almost finished. You may be seated. I need you to be seated. I only need right now for black men to stand up. Hallelujah. That's all I need right now is for black men to stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's getting ready to be a shout in this building. Sisters, clear your throat. We ain't shouting for money. We ain't shouting for houses. We ain't shouting for jobs. But sisters, I need you to shout for God to protect our black men. Come on, I can't hear nobody. Come on, I can't hear nobody. Driving while black, shopping while black, living while black, walking while black. You ought to give God a praise for a hedge fence of protection. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel something. This ain't even where I'm supposed to go. I promise to God, this ain't even where I'm supposed to go. If you a black mother in this room and you got a son that's incarcerated, I need you to stand. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you a black mother in this room and you got a son that's incarcerated, I need you to stand right where it is that you are. Hallelujah. There's getting ready to be a shout in this building. Because God is gonna get your son out ahead of schedule. He's getting ready to protect him. I can't hear nobody. And the gate, y'all are too stuck up for me. Y'all better shout for these praying mamas that God is getting ready to bring their sons out, and they're not gonna be wounded. They're not gonna be traumatized. They're not gonna be psychologically broken, but God is gonna fight for them. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You may be seated. So they put an innocent black man in jail. And I know why you came. I know why you came. I'm mindful of why you came and what you expected. And so let me just give spoiler alert. And let me just give you what you want real quick. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. And then he died. Y'all really don't know church. But that's not how. God help me. The story ends. I need somebody to shout, because this ain't the end of your story. I need somebody to give him glory, because you are not finished with the journey that God's got you on. And hung him high, stretched him wide, hung his head, then he died. Ladies and gentlemen, and here's where I bring you to the nexus of my argument today, is that a man by the name of Joseph comes and begs for his body. Comes and begs for his body. You don't even know, hallelujah, that God is getting ready to send somebody who's going to beg for your body. It's going to throw you off because they don't want to sleep with you. They want to take care of you. God, I can't hear nobody. God, is sending somebody who will not rest as long as you are broken and you are bleeding, but they want to see you in the best shape of your life. Look at your neighbor, tell them, I'm one of them friends. I don't want to see you depressed. I don't want to see you worried. I don't want to see you broken. I want to see you the way that God sees you. And that's why I'm giving God glory, because you ain't even half of what you getting ready to be. He begs for his body. You may be seated. And he says to Pilate, let me have his body, and then I want you to see the language of the text. I want to put him in a borrowed tomb. It's Jesus' third loan. He already took a donkey. He already took an upper room. But now he's getting ready to go into a tomb that was supposed to be for Joseph. What great faith Joe must have had. And he says, I'm borrowing the tomb, here it is, because I know he's going to give it back. Ladies and gentlemen, you got no idea what it is that people tried to bury you in. You are not going to stay in it. Hallelujah. I don't care what it is your mama projected on you. You are not going to be buried in that. I don't care what your ex said to try to break you. You are not going to be buried in it. I don't care what happened in your childhood. You are not going to be buried in it. So I want to be clear that they took Jesus's body. And when they took Jesus's body, they wrapped him. Here it is. In strips of linen, because he's bleeding too bad. And there are a lot of you who don't even realize you're not buried yet, but you're bound. You're bound from everything that has happened in your life. Folk don't even understand it takes work for you to smile. It takes too much energy for me to laugh. I got to sit on the side of the bed and get myself together for a couple of minutes before I even head to the bathroom. How about God says, I see you bound, but you ain't going to stay in that position. This is the same material they used on Jesus when he was born. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And some of you have been bound your whole life. And I want to be theologically in place and intact to tell you that when Jesus died, he died for sinners like Jamal Harrison Bryant. When he died for sinners like the person who's sitting next to you. He who knew no sin took on the sin of the entire world. He looked beyond all of my faults and he saw me at my knees. Man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. I want you to know that you serve a God who loves you so much that he died for you knowing you were gonna mess up. He loved you so much, he knew that you were going to be a repeat offender. He loved you so much knowing that you would never reach perfection, but he understood that his grace was going to be sufficient for all of us. And yet you sit in church and act like you are deserving of his grace and deserving of his mercy. But I need those of you who sing the song in your spirit, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he's sacrificing life, but I'm so glad. So glad that he did. And while he's bound, they put him in the tomb. And he died for my sins. And he died for yours. If he would have stayed dead, redemption would not have been possible. Salvation would not be offered. And all of humanity would still be swinging in a timeless, tireless pendulum. But he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But while Saturday night came, and he's still bound in a borrowed tomb, Jesus quickened in his spirit and realized, not only do I have to get up for you to be saved, but he said, if I remain dead, they will have to tear Deuteronomy 28 and 12 out of the Bible. Because if I stay in this tomb, I would never be able to pay Joseph back. God, I can't hear nobody. So part of why he had to get up is he said, I'm not going to go to death owing other people. I got to make sure that I'm able to pay it all back. I don't know where you are. My time is almost up. But I want to pronounce over you, you are not going to spend the rest of your life paying other people back. But God is getting ready to wipe the slate clean. You are getting ready to get a new lease on life. I'm going to say this to you. I'm appreciative for your time and for your attention. But I wanted to say something to you that burdened my heart. I want to ask that you'll indulge me. I know you don't like it. But I need you to indulge me. Right where you're seated, would you take that neighbor by the hand? I know you don't like it. I meet you halfway. Take that hand, but you ain't got to turn to him. After money, do you know what is the most borrowed thing that is not given back? In America, do you know what is the most borrowed thing after money that is not returned? Tangible. Yeah. The most borrowed thing that is not returned second to money, listen to me, is jumper cables. You gonna get it in a minute? Your neighbor breaks down. Their battery is not working. So they come over to their neighbor's house and say, I need a jump. God, I can't hear nobody. They borrow the jumper cables. They get their car back up and running. And the problem is they forget to bring the cables back. Because all they wanted was power for themselves. And they don't care who else gets it. In order for jumper cables to work, you gotta connect a positive to a negative. God, y'all are almost there. My positive connects to your negative, and I turn my engine on. Everything that's in me will begin to transfer into you. Be seated. Y'all jumping ahead of me. Hallelujah. So the person whose hand you holding is about to get a jump. God help me. This is going to be their last season depressed. I can't hear nobody, but all the oil that's in you is getting ready to flow into them. That they are not going to suffer from a nervous breakdown. They are not going to lose their mind. They are not going to be swallowed by depression. But the glory of God is getting ready to go into your neighbor. If this has been a rough year for you, I need you to look at your neighbor and say, let me hold something. I need some of your power. I need some of your strength. I need some of the grace of God that's on you. And when I count to three, I want you to shout for the neighbor whose hand you're holding. Because power is getting ready to come into their life. The glory of God is getting ready to come into their life. One, two, three, shout. Hey, come on. And after that, come on, I can't hear nobody. And after that, you shall receive power. All right. Listen. Hey.
I hope you are energized that you don't need an energy drink. What you just heard should have you off and running, chasing your dreams, pursuing your purpose, and answering your call. If this was a blessing, share it with somebody else. Don't be selfish. This is what God gave you so that you can be a blessing to somebody who needs it worse.